Let us begin. Parshas Vayikra, it's sort of timely as we prepare for Pesach and Yantuf, of course, as we think and consider and hope that we will be zochet to bring the Korban Pesach. Amir Tzashem, let us talk about Parshas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra. I don't know about you, but certainly when we hit Vayikra, I think I and many of us begin to sort of zone out. And it is the Sefer of Karbanos, the Parshios of Karbanos. We are piggybacking really on the fundamentals of our faith in terms of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, Mishkan, and Sefer Shmos. Sefer Bereishis, of course, is the stories of the Avos, the Imahos, the Shvatim, Yosef, and the Achim. I mean, there's so much chock full and so much that we can learn in Sefarim of Bereishis and Shmos, Chumashim of Sefer and Shmos. And when we get to Vayikra, it's sort of like, what happened? Where do we go from here? Now, the truth is, Sefer Vayikra in Chazal is referred to as Toras Kohanim, which is the book of the Kohanim. The lion's share and the crux of Sefer Vayikra really deals with the halachas of kehuna, what a Kohen can and can't do, the karbanos, when they're brought, how they're brought, what are the types of karbanos, the ola, the chatos, and the asham, the big day kehuna, etc. So it's sort of a sefer where very often me and you, the average man and woman, Yisrael and Levi, sort of fall by the wayside. Of course, there are critical moments, events, the story of Nadav and Avihu, the Parshas Amoadim in Sefer and Parshas Emor, the Tochacha in Parshas Bichukosai, and there is a lot to talk about, as we mentioned last week, the Rosh Chodesh Nisan as a critical day in Chamisha Chumshe Torah certainly is writ large in Sefer Vayikra. What happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, year one and year two, the first year that they're in the Midbar, the second year in the Midbar. So Sefer Vayikra has its events that take place and sprinkled throughout the beginning of Parshas Vayikra till Bahar B'chukosai. But I think what I would like to do is allow you to, hopefully, some entrance into Sefer Vayikra and share with you that really the Karbanos, although they are not applicable now, may they be applicable very soon, Shibane Beis HaMikdash, really do speak to a very, very critical element in our Avodas Hashem, how we serve Hashem, and certainly at the backbone is the fact that tefillah, as the Gemara tells us, tefillah keneged karbanos tiknu. All of our tefillos, all of the prayers that we offer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu today, Shachar, Smincha, Marav, Musaf, etc., are all patterned after the karbanos. The karban tamid shel Shachar, the karban tamid shel Ben Arbaim, really are the model of what Shachar and Mincha should look like. Marav is a separate tefillah, but what I'd like to look at is Karbanos, what the purpose, what the intent of Karbanos were, because certainly this is something that is very critical for us. We need to know that Karbanos are really central to our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Karbanos really stood at the forefront, and it's also important to recognize that without Karbanos today, we really are missing a good portion of what we are really supposed to be doing, right? Sefer Vayikra, as I just said, is all about Karbanos. And of course, Sefer Bamidbar and Dvarim, we read about Karbanos, the Nevi'im, which you are quite familiar with, from the Nevi'im Rishonim to Nevi'im Achronim. Karbanos play a central role. So the lack there of Karbanos really speaks very much to the fact that we are missing something very critical in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. By way of introduction, let me just point out something which I think is very, very pertinent both to Parshas Vayikra, to Sefer Vayikra, as well as to Pesach. It always struck me that there is a very well-known refrain that most of us, you know, could say in our sleep, and that is something we say colloquially, commonly, Lashana Haba Yerushalayim, right? That's something that's very, very powerful. We always say that Lashana Haba Yerushalayim, and we mean it, and we say that with seriousness, with integrity, with hope and prayers that that should become true. If you look throughout the year, there are two times, only two times that we find that refrain in our liturgy, or in our Siddur, or in our Machzor. Once is on Pesach, and once is on Yom Kippur. Where do we find it on Pesach, and where do we find it on Yom Kippur? At the end of Ni'ilah and Yom Kippur, we exclaim, in no uncertain terms, really the end of the whole Yom Kippur experience, L'shana haba b'shalayim. At the end of the Seder, right after Chasal, Siddur, Pesach, Kilchaso, we complete the whole Seder, L'shana haba b'shalayim. it's interesting to note that there are two commonalities. Number one, it's at the end of Yom Kippur, at the end of the Seder. And number two, there must be a common denominator between Pesach and Yom Kippur that Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim is recited. Why specifically on Pesach and in Yom Kippur? And why specifically at the end of the entire service of Yom Kippur and the entire service of the Seder of Pesach do we chant, cite, exclaim, sing, with yearning, Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim? So here's what I would like to suggest, and I think it's valuable as we begin Sefer Vayikra. If you look at the Yom Kippur Avoda, the Tefillah, compared to what took place Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayam, it pales in comparison to what we did when the Beis HaMikdash was erect. Meaning, everything that we're doing today in Yom Kippur is simply mimicking, carbon copying, trying to imitate what took place when the Mishkan, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, especially the service of Musaf. Everything that we do, and it's the most foreign part of the entire Yom Kippur tefillah, is Musaf, because you start repeating everything that the Kohen did. The Kohen stuck his hand up, he stuck his hand down, he changed, he went in, he went out, he achas lamala, achas lamata, emes ma-kohen, mahaya nehedar. The whole avoda of Yom Kippur that we have today is fundamentally and categorically different then the avoda of the Kohen and the avoda of Bnei Yisrael when the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim. So therefore, if there's ever a day, if there's ever a tefillah, if there's ever a time that we today in the Gullus really, really feel and are lacking and are sorely missing the Beis HaMikdash, it's Yom Kippur. And I believe it's for that reason at the end of 25 hours of prayer that we dafka say Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim, because it's so different than everything that we used to do when the Beis HaMikdash stood. Our Yom Kippur is so devoid, so divorced, so separate from what it used to be like, that it's dafka in the tefillah of Yom Kippur at the end of the entire service of Yom Kippur that we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we tried. We did the best we could on Yom Kippur. We davened five tefillos. We did everything we were supposed to try to do, but still it's not what it was. And therefore, Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we pray, we daven, we hope, we pine, that next year we will be able to do Yom Kippur really the way it should be done. And the truth is, if you look in the Halacha, and if you look in the Rambam, the tshuva that we have today is not the tshuva that was. The real tshuva, what we will learn about today in Parshas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra, is the offering of a korban. If I do something accidentally, it's a korban chatas. When I make mistakes, it's a type of korban asham that is described at the end of Sefer Vayikra. If I don't fulfill a mitzvah saseh, then there's a different korban that's offered. So there's so many aspects of our inability to rectify and to settle our score with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to resolve a relationship that went awry, that without a Beis HaMikdash, it's almost impossible. So therefore, in Yom Kippur, we say Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim. The second time we say it during the year will be this coming Motzei Shabbos and Sunday night at the end of the Seder. We will also say Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim. Why? Because when you're doing the Seder from Kadesh and Urchatz and Karpas and Yachatz, it's imitating what we used to do. Hillel had his korech sandwich bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. The Afikomen imitates, mimics, carbon copies, hopes to try to show us what it used to be like when the Beis HaMikdash stood. We have to finish the Afikomen before Chatzos. We have to finish the Matzah before Chatzos. You have to have the Maror before Chatzos. You have to do Halal before Chatzos. Why is Chatzos such a critical time? Leil HaSeder. Why does everything have to be done by midnight? Because we all know when the Beis HaMikdash stood, as we read in Parshas Bo, the Korban Pesach was brought Chatzos in the middle of the day on Yud Daled, on the 14th day of Nisan, and it had to have been completed by Chatzos 12 hours later, midnight, on the 15th. So therefore, the entire Seder is really sort of copying what it used to be like. That's why a kittel is worn, that's why Urchatz, we wash our hands before Karpas, to show also what it was like Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. So the entire Seder, as much as we try to do what we can do in the Gullus, when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer, unfortunately, to our dismay, but at the end of the day, the Seder and the Avoda of Pesach pales in comparison to what it used to be like Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. So therefore, at the end of the entire Seder, when we say Chasal Sidur Pechasach Kilchazo, Hashem, we tried to do the Seder like we're supposed to. But unfortunately, here we are, Tavshin Pei Aleph, 2021. Silver Spring, Maryland. We're not doing it the way that we can, that we should, that we want, and that we tried. We did what we were supposed to do. We were tried, and we put our best foot forward. We bought what we were supposed to buy. We cleansed our homes the way we were supposed to. We ate the matzah. We recounted the story, the details of the Exodus. We ate the marrow. We said the Hallel. We did everything we were supposed to do, but at the end of the day, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lashana Abab Yerushalayim. So therefore, I think it's for that reason that Dafka on Pesach and Dafka on Yom Kippur, when we see that the service, the avoda of Yom Kippur and the avoda of Pesach is so categorically and fundamentally different than what it used to be like, therefore we say Lashana Habab Yerushalayim. That is an introduction, certainly a timely one, as we prepare for Yantav of Pesach, and certainly I think it's an important introduction to Sefer Vayikra, to appreciate and to recognize, although what we are learning, and the parshios that we will be laning the next set of weeks, before Pesach and after Pesach, leading up to Shavuos, at the end of Parshas B'chukosai, is an entire segment that's so foreign to us, but it's sad. It should really be something that is very sad that Sefer Vayikra is the most foreign of all of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, because really it's the most critical, and it's the part of the Torah Shebichsav that we hope and we pray should be more applicable and should be lamaisa very, very speedily and soon. You know, the Chafetz Chaim in his yeshiva was adamant to learn Seder Kachim. Seder Kachim is sort of the Sefer Vayikra of Chamisha Chumshei Torah of Torah Shebaal Peh. We're very familiar. Most yeshivas are familiar with Seder Moed and Nashim and Ezekiel. Seder Moed is about all of the holidays, the Yomim Tovim. Nashim is about the laws of marriage and divorce. Ezekiel is about the laws of torts and damages, property law, inheritance, etc. Kachim is about the Karbanos, and it's an area that is most unfamiliar to most of Klal Yisrael today. And the Chafetz Chaim and his yeshiva in Radin established that we must learn Seder Kachim. And the Chafetz Chaim himself penned a commentary on the Mishnayos in Kachim, because he said, we have to be prepared. The Beis HaBikdash is going to be rebuilt. The Kohanim are not going to know what to do. We can know the laws of Shabbos. We can know the laws of Yom Tov. We can know the laws of Hashkamas Adam Baboker, how to wake up in the morning. We can know how to do everything. But we have to be prepared that the Mashiach is going to come at any moment, right? We say it every day. Im kol zeh achakel b'chol yom sheyavo, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be here. We're going to have Kohanim and Levim. We're not going to have the foggiest idea of how to bring a korban. So the Chafetz Chaim established that we must be prepared, and you have to learn Seder Kachim. And of course, till today, that continues in many yeshivas, specifically in the Brisk yeshivas. This is what they do. This is what they learn. Is the Seder Kachim. B'siyata d'shmaya, we should hope, we should pray that we will be able to offer karbanos speedily. But let us understand, if indeed, as I have described, that karbanos are such a critical aspect of our avodas Hashem, they are such a formidable part and a central part of our service and relationship with Hashem, what's it all about? Why is offering a karban so critical and so important? Now, certainly on a general level, the offering of a korban, what it's supposed to do, is make man recognize that that could have, should have been me. The offering of korban means that I am in place of the korban, the same way that we saw this already in Parshas Vayera, when Avram Avinu was prepared to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice, and instead of Yitzchak, he found the Ayel Echad Nechaz B'Svach Karnav, and that really is the paradigm of all karbanos. That was the first, not the first korban that we're familiar with, because of course, Adam HaRishon, Noach, Cain and Hevel brought karbanos, as we'll talk about momentarily. So karbanos certainly are a part of everything that we know about in biblical times, starting really in Sefer Bereishis. Noach brought a korban, as I said. But nonetheless, the korban that really we relate to most, that's most powerful, and certainly in Rosh Hashanah, is the offering of the Akedah of Yitzchak, and as a result of Yitzchak not being offered, really, it was the Ayil. So that really speaks to the fact, and that's part of the Zichrono section of Rosh Hashanah davening, that really what a korban is supposed to make us think twice, that the blood that could have been shed, or that the animal that was taken really is supposed to allow human being, man, to think about what our relationship is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how sin severs our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It creates some level of a vacuum, and it creates some level of a separation between man and his creator. And therefore, that experience, the Gemara tells us, was such a powerful experience when the Kohen was offering the korban on behalf of the individual who sinned, that the human being would have been so shaken up that it causes one to really reassess what I'm doing and how I'm living my life. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Baba Basar, actually, that part of the power of Aliyah L'Regel, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, that when we went and traveled to the Beis HaMikdash, the pilgrimage, three times a year, the experience of seeing Kohanim ba'avodasam, Levim b'shiram uvizimram, when I saw the Kohen perform the service, when I saw the Levim doing what they were doing, singing and doing their mishmaros and watching and guarding, it was such an awe-inspiring experience that a Jew would be so transformed and transfixed that it would be such an inspiration from Pesach to Shavuos and from Shavuos to Sukkos. It would allow us to be able to successfully maneuver and to manipulate throughout the rest of the year. So the Yom Tov experience was a day and was an opportunity, was a period to see the Korbanos in action, to see how the Kohanim were dressed and adorned, to see and to hear how the Levim were singing. And as we prepare for Pesach and in the Musaf, Tefillah of Musaf, you will see the beautiful liturgy, what it was like when the Kohanim, when the Levim, when the Israelim, what we pine and what we hope for and what we say really in the Rosh Hashanah davening and what we see as well in the Yom Kippur davening, but really most prominently in the Tfilos of the Gimel Regalim is just that. What it used to be like, we're so sad, v'hareinu b'vinyano, v'samcheinu b'sikuno. We're sort of so looking forward to what can be, what should be, what will be, and looking and remembering what used to be. My Salvechik once made a very, very startling point. At the end of Tisha B'Av, there's the chant that we say to the song, Elei Tzion. You're familiar with that song? Elei Tzion v'yareha, kema isha b'tzireha. It's a very, it's like a dirge. It talks about just like a young bride who lost her husband of just a few days, the pain and the suffering and the most dramatic loss that can possibly exist is something that is of a mashal, of a parable to what it was like to lose the Beis HaMikdash. It was our bride, all right? Kemo isha b'tzir, just like a woman in childbirth, the pain, the suffering, what that feels like is so intense. That's sort of the loss of what we had of the Beis HaMikdash. There's something quite amazing. What Salvechik said, if you listen to the tune, to the song, to the chant, a good chazan is able to do this in the Musaf of Yom Tov, it rings of a very similar tune. V'areinu b'vinyano, v'samcheinu b'sikuno, v'ashev kanim v'adasam v'im l'shivam zimram, v'ashev kanim v'adasam v'shivam zimram v'sikunam. That tune sort of is reminiscent, he said, of Elei Tzion v'yareha, kemo isha b'tzireha. The point being that even on Yom Tov here, Bizman Hazeh, we're still thinking back to Tisha B'Av. Or on Tisha B'Av, we're still thinking about what can be on Yom Tov. So really the two polar opposites, Tisha B'Av when we commemorate the loss of the Mikdash, and Yom Tov Bizman Hazeh when we pine and we hope and we pray and we attempt to rethink what we are missing, that sort of balance exists today in hand. So Yom Tov, Tisha B'Av, Pesach, Yom Kippur, Lashana Bab Yishlaim, Karbanos really speaks very powerfully to where we want to be, where we can be, where we should be, and this is really Sefer Vayikra. But yes, we need to understand, what is this Korban all about? Why are Karbanos so critical, so key, so central to Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let's take a look at the first two psukim in all Sefer Vayikra. And I think there'll be something that will emerge from these two psukim. Interesting to note that there's an old, old minhag. I was telling my kids on Friday night, many chadarim, many schools actually start teaching Chumash with these two psukim. Not with Sefer Bereishis. They start with Sefer Vayikra. These first two psukim in Sefer Vayikra, little kids begin their reading and their learning and their experience of Talmud Torah, the first two psukim in Sefer Vayikra. There are multiple different reasons why that still exists, but Yisrael Yaakov, when we were living still in Yerushalayim, when he started Cheder, so that's what happened. The first week, they started reading these two psukim. I think on one level, it's supposed to give us hope and inspiration that, as we start, a child starts their chinuch, that we should be looking forward that Sefer Vayikra is going to be the book, is going to be the Sefer that really will be most prominent, most critical, and will be most alive, and will be Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa. So the Torah begins, Vayikra el Moshe, God called Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav me'ohel mo'el lemor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe from the Ohel Moed. Now, the word Vayikra is certainly a word that should grab our attention, because any of us, all of us who are familiar with Chamisha Chumshei Torah are very, very well aware that usually the word that's used when God speaks to Moshe is Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. So it should strike us when Sefer Vayikra opens, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav me'ol lemor. What do you mean Vayikra, God called? Vayidaber Hashem should speak. So Rashi picks up on this word, and of course, Sefer Vayikra, as we refer to it, although it's mentioned as Torah's Kohanim, Vayikra seems to be a very, very important word. It's the way we refer to the book that we're reading. What's Vayikra all about? So Rashi says Vayikra is Lashon Chiba. It's a language of love. It's endearing. God is calling to Moshe Rabbeinu with a very loving, passionate way. Lashon Shemalachi Hasharis Mishtamshimbo. This word is the word that the Malachim use. Shenemar Vikara Ze'el Zev Amar, right? When we say Kiddusha, all of us are familiar. What's the first thing that we say in Kiddusha when Mshachris and Mosaf? Vikara Ze'el Zev Amar. Nekadesh Hashimcha Balam. Kishem Shemakdishim Asabesh Memram. Kakosvi Anmeacha Kara Ze'el Zev Amar. Kriya Kara Vayikra is a Lashon of Chiba. What Rashi is beginning to tell us, and as I'll show you in a number of other places in the first two psukim, that Vayikra is a sefer, is a book of chiba, of love. The karbonos are all about ava. They're all about love. They're about creating a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The word itself, korban, what is the shoresh of the word korban? Karov, karev. A korban is supposed to create a very, very strong kesher, karov, kirva. That even in modern Hebrew is the word that we use when we talk about very, very intense, strong relationship. Kirva, karov, we're close. So korban is milashon karev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close to us. And the way that we are able to re-identify and reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dafka, through vayikra, through korban, through that exact way. That is the intention, and that is the purpose, and that is the identity of the korban, that often when a relationship is severed, so when the relationship is restored, the relationship is even stronger than it ever was. And that's what happens in Sefer Vayikra, that the korban is supposed to create and refunction and refashion and realter and regenerate that very strong relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Vayikra el Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe, and Moshe will tell Aaron, and Aaron will tell his sons will tell his descendants, the Kohanim Gedolim, from generation to generation. And all of Klal Yisrael needs to know that Sefer Vayikra, the Sefer Karbanos Torah's Kohanim, begins with this word Vayikra, because Karbanos all about Karov, ki Karov Elecha Davar Me'o Beficha Ulvavcha La'asoso. That's what Karbanos are all about. If you take a look in the second pasuk, Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Marta Aleihem, speak to Bnei Yisrael and tell them, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Korban LaHashem. When a man offers a Korban LaHashem, and the Medrash on this pasuk says something critical about all karbanos, and that's the word mikem. Adam ki yakriv mikem. That a korban has to come from where? Mikem. It has to come from you. It has to be natural. It has to be organic. It has to be coming from yourself. If a korban is just going to be brought, mitzvahs, anashim milumada, you're just offering a korban with no thought, no concern, no love, no passion, no kirva, then you're missing the whole purpose of the korban. The purpose of the korban is karov, is karev, is kirva, it's mikem. It has to come from you. Adam, ki yakriv mikem, it has to come from you. The purpose and the point of a korban is that it should come from you. It's like tshuva. If you just say the words, and if you just articulate, then it doesn't really mean anything. Tshuva has to be from the heart. It has to come from the soul. It has to be from the mind. It has to really be passionate. It has to really be serious. And of course, tefillah, which is patterned after the korban, has to be the same way. A tefillah that is just articulated and recited, it's missing the backbone. It's missing the soul. That's not a tefillah. A tefillah where we're just reading the words is not mikem. Therefore, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban laHashem. Another diuk, another point to note in the pasuk is the word Adam. Adam is not typically the way that man is referred to in the Torah. How do we refer to man? Ish, O Isha. And Mefarshim, just like in Pasuk Aleph, note that Vayikra is not the word that's often used, it's Vayedaber. So too in Pasuk Beis, Mefarshim note that Adam is not the right word. It should say, Vamart Alem Ish, O Isha, ki yakriv mikerem korban. Why is it Adam? So what the Torah tells us, and Mefarshim explain, is that Adam comes from Adama. that when you offer a korban, you should recognize where you're coming from, who you are. You're afer min ha'adama. You're a person that's coming from the ground, and you have to offer your whole self, your whole essence, your whole being. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban la'Hashem. I'm offering myself. It's mikem and it's adam. It's min ha'adama. I'm offering nafshi u'besari. I'm giving of myself to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, in Pasuk Beis, the Shach, Reb Shapsi HaKohen Rappaport, who's very, very famous, well-known for his commentary, running commentary on Shulchan Aruch, specifically Yoredeya, also in Chosha Mishpat. However, the Shach also has a commentary in the Torah, and he makes such a remarkable point on Pasuk Beis that's worthy of your attention. He says as follows. Read the Pasuk, and he says this homiletically, of course. Pasuk Beis, Sefer Vayikra, Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis, Daber B'nei Sofer Marat Aleim, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem, Korban LaHashem. When a human being, when an Adam brings Mikem, then it's Korban LaHashem. Esnachta. There's a comma at that point in the Pasuk. Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem. When a person offers himself, when I offer, when I give of myself to you, Boreon, to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem, when I give my soul, my heart, my passion, my love, then it's Korban LaHashem, then I'm Karov, then I'm so close to you, Hashem. When I give you myself, my essence, when I create and I restore that relationship through a Korban, then it's Korban LaHashem, then it's really a Korban. However, the end of the Pasuk, if it's not, if it's min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, if you're just offering a sacrifice, it's an animal, it's from your flock, it's from your sheep, then takrivas korbanchem. Then it's your korban. It's no longer korban lahashem. It's only korbanchem. It's your korban. Then you're not offering of yourself. If it's not korban lahashem, then it's only going to be korbanchem. And thus the Shach says, that's why in the beginning of the Pasuk, you see the way that the korban is referred to as korban lahashem, because it's mikem, it's coming from me. At the end of the Pasuk, the word that's used is korbanchem, my korban. Says the Shach, why in the beginning of the Pasuk is it Korban Hashem? The end of the Pasuk is Korban Chem. Sometimes it's Korban for Hashem and sometimes it's my Korban. Says the Shach, it depends on your intent. It depends how much you care. It depends how much of yourself you've given into the Korban. If it's Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem, if you've given of yourself, it's Karov, it's Karev, it's Vayikra, it's Adam, then it's Korban Hashem. But if you're only bringing Behema, Bakar, Minatzon, if you're only offering of the animal, and you're giving this animal because that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're required to do. That's what the law requires. For asay, you give this korban. For anlos, asay, this korban. It's a korban. It's a chatas. It's an ashram. It's an ola. Then at that point, you're just giving it because it's duty bound and it's required. Then it's korban chem. It's your korban. But you didn't restore that relationship with me. Thus, there's no question that in psukim in aleph and beis, what the Torah is stressing, these two psukim, as I mentioned, which young children begin their Torah experience learning, is talking all about the heart and the soul. And maybe that's another reason why the Cheder kids begin learning Sefer Vayikra and these first two psukim. Because Vayikra, Karbanos, Karov, Karev, Mikem, Korbanchem, is all about the kirva. That's what a korban is all about. That's what Sefer Vayikra is about. That's what Torah's Kohen is about. All about the love, the passion, creating, restoring the relationship, coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and making sure that we are able to be close to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, there is a challenge, and there is an Achilles heel when it comes to this stress in korbanos, because we all know that if the goal of a korban is just our heart, sometimes what could happen is you could give the heart and you could be missing the lamaisa, the practical, the law, what's duty bound. And therefore there is a challenge when karbanos are going to be brought. Will we only focus on the behema, bakar, and the tzon, only strictly focusing on what we're supposed to do? And that's inappropriate. Or will we only focus on the heart and on the soul and on the relationship, and we won't be medaktik, we won't be meticulous and scrupulous in the halacha? That is a challenge, and that's something that we need to be concerned about, not only in all areas of Avodas Hashem, but particularly in the area of Karbanos, because when the stress is so much on the kirva, on the closest to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we may forget about the basic relationship with Hashem and doing what we are supposed to do, halacha lamaisa, doing what we're supposed to do, the asay and the los asay, making sure I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do at the right time, in the right place, in the right hour. I have to know where the Karbanos are brought, what type of Korban is brought. And Rav Schwab makes this point, Rav Shimon Schwab, in a sefer, Mayan Ba'is HaShoeva, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, next week's Parsha. And of course, Parshios Vayikra and Tzav are integrally connected because Parshas Tzav is a continuation of the Karbanos that were not finished being mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. And if you take a look at the beginning of Parshas Tzav, the Torah tells us, if you have the Stone Chumash, it's on page 568, Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph, there's also another interesting word that the Torah uses, which it ordinarily doesn't. Perek Vav Pasuk Beis, Tzav, Es Aaron ves banav lemor, zos Torah sa'ola. In the beginning of Parsha Tzav, Aaron is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell, Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aaron, command Aaron his sons, telling them about the Korban Ola. And Rashi immediately picks up on this word Tzav. Tzav means command. Again, typically it's Vayadaber, right? And as the Pasuk Aleph tells, Vayadaber shal Moshe lemor, emor al Aaron, tell Aaron, mean Tzav es Aaron, command Aaron. So Rashi, Perek Vav Pasuk Beis, the beginning of Parshas Tzav, says the word Tzav is Ein Lashon Tzav, Ela Lashon Zirus. It's a language of speed, of alacrity, of caution. Miyad Uladoros, for now and for generations to come. And Rav Schwab asks on this Rashi, why Dafka, when it comes to Karbanos, is the word Tzav used? Command, alacrity, speed. What's so important when it comes to Karbanos that Aaron needs to hear something for now and for generations to come? All Torah is for now and for generations to come. What's so important that's securing that Aaron HaKohen recognizes, knows, and understands about the importance of Karbanos now and for generations? So Schwab says something so important about Karbanos and so important about Avodas Hashem. He says that because there's such a stress in Karbanos, on the heart, on the soul, on the areas that are sort of the intangible, and at the same time, we also have to be able to do things correctly, lemaisa, this is the challenge of the Jew forever and forever. Because what we are supposed to do, the challenge of each and every single one of us today, is to be able to be balancing doing what's right, not doing what's wrong, keeping the laws of Shabbos, but feeling the passion of Shabbos. Davening correctly at the right time, saying the right words, knowing what to fill in. Is it Mashiv Ruach HaGeshem? Is it Moed Atal? Is it Chag HaPesach Zman Cheiroseinu? Is it Vitodiyenu? Is it Atav HaChartanu? You got to get it all right. But at the same time, it's got to be with a heart and with a soul, with a passion. And this dichotomy of the Lamaisa, as well as at the same time with the Neshama, is something that is the challenge that we live with and we breathe with in all of our service of Hashem. And Rosh Schwab says, when it comes to Karbanos, it is the challenge. Because as we stressed, Karbanos are supposed to be the heart, their kirva, their karov. Adam ki yakriv mikem, korban mahashem. If the korban is supposed to be so much part of our soul, of our heart, of our neshama, of our mind, but at the same time, we have to be able to do the karbanos properly. This is what Hashem told Moshe to tell Aaron, Tzav es Aaron ves banav lemor, miyadu ledoros, because for generations and generations, karbanos is going to be the area where Klal Yisrael are going to be split. And it's going to cause incredible, incredible separation because we're not always going to be able to merge and to blend and to live this dichotomy perfectly. Amazingly, both Rav Schwab and Rav Soloveitchik, in their commentaries on Parshas and Vayikra, they go through the history of Karbanos from Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni. And what I'd like to do with you now is to show you multiple Haftoros, where you see throughout Sefer Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yecheskel, through the end of Nevi'im and Sefer Malachi, that Klal Yisrael were always poseach al shnei se'ifim. They were always focusing on one element of Karbanos and not the other. It was either so much a heart and a soul when it came to the Karban, they didn't bring the right Karbanos. They brought lame, limp, blind Karbanos. Remember that from Sefer Malachi? The Haftorah Parshas told us, tells us that Klal Yisrael, second bias, Sheini, they were so focused on the kirva, on the love, on the closeness of the Korban Hashem, they didn't follow the halacha, and they brought karbanos, they brought animals that weren't halachically fit to be brought. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu chastises them and says, that's not a korban. Klal Yisrael says, what do you mean? Karov, karov, kirva, mikem. It's all about the relationship. Hashem says, it's true, but what about First base. What about what type of korban to bring? Is it a kosher animal? Is it not a kosher animal? Is it an animal that you waited 8 days for? Is it blind? Is it limp? Is it lame? And then the opposite also happened. That Klal Yisrael during the first temple period were so focused on the details, the minutiae of the halacha, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, that they just brought the korbanos l'shem kiruv korban, and it was only like Pasuk Bey said in Sefer Vayikra, min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzot, takrivos korbanchem, it became their korban because they didn't do it with passion, with soul, with intensity, with love. And as we'll see momentarily, I'll share with you some of these psukim where the Navi chastises Klal Yisrael throughout the two temples where they were missing one half and not the other. But the truth is, if you go back all the way to the first korban that ever existed in Parshas Bereishis, Kain and Hevel, you see this is what lies at the core. It's the point of contention between Kain and Hevel. Why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Hevel's korban and didn't turn to Kain's Hevel? Vel Kain vel minchaso lo shah, he didn't turn to Kain's korban. But to Hevel's korban, he did turn. Kain was so overwhelmed and disappointed, was so melancholy, that Hevel's korban was accepted, that Kain kills Hevel. Why was Hevel's korban offered, accepted, and why was Kain's korban not accepted? If you read the psukim in Parshas Bereishis, which we don't have time to read this morning, it becomes very clear that this was the distinction between Kain and Hevel. What do I want to bring? What do I care about? Do I really love you, Hashem? Am I going to offer you the choicest of my flock? Or am I going to offer you the most base of my vegetables? And here is where Kain and Hevel went to bat. And here is where Kain and Hevel were able to understand what Hashem really wants. It's speaking to exactly this point of carbon as kirva. It's mikem. But that is exactly what Kain was doing wrong. And that's exactly what Hevel was doing right. So they focused on the heart and on the soul. And if you fast forward to Parsha Shmini, which we'll read right after Pesach, this is pumfakert, the opposite of what Nadav and Avihu did. Nadav and Avihu, what did they do? They had such heart. They had such soul. They had such interest in coming close to Hashem. But what had happened? It was an eish zar. It was a flame that wasn't warranted. They didn't follow the halacha. So you could have the right intent. You could have the heart and the soul. But if you're not following the law, if you're not doing the assays and the los assays, you're missing the other side of the coin. And that's what was missing with Nadav and Avihu. On the other hand, Kain and Hevel, each of them had a different intent, but you saw that the focus was the heart. And at the same time, there also was the following of the law, and this is where Kain and Hevel weren't able to see eye to eye, and that's why Hashem accepted one korban and not the other. So already you see in Sefer Bereishis, and you certainly see in Sefer Vayikra, with Nadav and Avihu, this dichotomy, this balance must be there. There needs to be that sense of offering the kirva, the karov, l'Hashem me'od, and at the same time, the ability to be able to come close to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by following the law, the order, properly and correctly. Let me now refer you to the Haftorah of Parshios Vayikra and Tzav, this week's and next week's. Because in these two Haftorahs, there are two psukim that you will see that really speak to the essence. Of course, in the Haftorah, Parshas Vayikra, is the Navi Yeshaya. And the Navi Yeshaya, to me, what is one of the most powerful psukim in the Haftorah, it's Perek Mem Gimel of Yeshaya, psukim Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet, chapter 43, verses 23 and 24. Listen to what the Navi Yeshaya, how he chastises the Jewish people in terms of the korban that they brought. You did not bring me sheep for your burnt offerings, nor did you honor me with your peace offerings. I didn't burden you with a meal offering, says the Navi, and I didn't weary you with frankincense. You burdened me with your sins. You wearied me with your iniquities. Meaning you could offer me all the karbanos you want, but if you're not really offering it because you care about me, because you want to do what's right, you're missing the whole point of the korban. And thus the Navi Yeshaya chastises the Jewish people. And that is exactly why it's the Haftorah for Parshas Vayikra, because there needs to be a sense of, I have to do what's right. You can't just bring a korban and continue with the sin. It's like what we refer to as tovil b'sheretz v'yadu. You go to the mikvah holding a impure animal. That's not going to cleanse you. The same thing is true with a korban. You could offer me your set. You could offer me your zevach. But you're not doing it right. Because, as the pasuk says, hevaretani bechatosecha, hogatani bavonosecha, you burdened me with your sins, you wearied me with your iniquities. The same thing is true in next week's haftorah, in Parshas Tzav, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as opposed to Yishayahu. And here you can look in the haftorah for Parshas Tzav, Perek Zayin, Psukim Chav Aleph to Chuf Gimel, is very similar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Klal Yisrael, and the Navi Yirmiyahu is going to say, I don't need your kabanas. If you're not going to use the korban properly, if you're not going to understand the essence of a korban, you got it all wrong. Listen to what the Navi Yirmiyahu tells Klal Yisrael, next week's Haftorah, Perek Zayin. Komar Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael, Olo Seichem Safu. Powerful language. Pile your burnt offerings. I don't need them. I'm disgraced. I'm disgusted with your korbanos. I didn't simply command you to bring the following sacrifices. This is what I commanded you. Shimu b'koli, listen to me. Vayisi lachem le'Elohim, and I will be your God. Vatem tilu le'am, v'halachtem b'chol ha'derech asher atzav eschem l'man yitav lachem. I want you to act properly. I want you to act right, says the Navi, Yirmiyahu, to Klal Yisrael in the name of God. Don't just bring me a korban and not do what you're supposed to do. You're missing the whole point. The korban has to work in sync with how you act as human beings. And if you're just going to offer your korbanos and not really feel the passion, the intensity, the care, and not do what you're supposed to do and don't transgress, then the sin offerings that you're bringing, the korban, the ola, the chatas, and the asham, don't really impact me, they don't really affect me. So therefore you see in both of these haftorahs, the haftorah of Vayikra, the haftorah of Parshas Tzav, really working in synergy with the essence of korbanos, that this is the point of korbanos, that korbanos are supposed to be here in order to really speak to who we are as human beings. The same thing you may recall and the Navi that we read just a few weeks ago, the Haftarah for Parsha Zachar, you're familiar with it? Of course, from Shmuel and Shaul, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tezvav, when Shaul thinks that offering a korban as opposed to killing out all of the flock of Amalek was the right thing to do. He says, I wanted to come close to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. I wanted to offer you a korban. So Shaul, of course, thought that was the right thing to do. That the kirva, the closeness of the korban, was going to be exactly what Hashem wanted. But listen to the words of Shaul. Hachafetz l'Hashem ba'olos u'zvachim. Does God want your olos and your zvachim, your burnt offerings and your feast offerings? Kishmoa b'kol Hashem. Hine shmoa mizevach tov l'hakshiv mechelev elim. It's better to obey you, HaKadosh Baruch, than offering a choice offering. It's better to be attentive than offering the ram. That's exactly what Shmuel tells Shaul. Don't just use a korban as a kirva to create that strong, deep relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So therefore, throughout Bayis Rishon, throughout the Nevi'im Rishonim, throughout Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu, and Yecheskel, Shmuel and Shaul, you see that the point and the purpose of a korban is certainly do what's right. If you're going to disobey, if you're not going to follow the law, if you're not going to follow the way of Hashem, your korbanos are meaningful. Meaningless. On the other hand, as you get to Bayis Sheni, in the last Navi, the Navi Malachi, you see the opposite happens. After Klal Yisrael get the message of the prophets, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, and they know that they can't bring a karbanos that are not with passion, with concern, you know what happens? Klal Yisrael do an about face. And they start bringing karbanos with such intensity and passion with kirva, like the first two psukim in Sefer Vayikra. And then the Navi Malachi chastises Bnei Yisrael in the second temple period when he says, Magishim al mizbichi lechem migov amarta b'megalucha. This is the haftorah, by the way, for Parshas Toldos. Malachi, Perek Aleph, psukim Zayin and Ches. And listen what the Navi says. V'chisagishun iver lizboach ein ra. V'chisagishu piseach v'chola ein ra. Hakriveyu no lefechasecha. Hayirtzecha yisa panecha ma Hashem tzvakos. The table, the mizbeach, the korbanos that you have brought me are repulsive. You're bringing me a blind animal. You don't think there's anything wrong. You're bringing me a lame animal, a sick animal. You don't think there's anything wrong? Give me a korban that's proper, that's appropriate, that's halachically correct. So therefore, in Bayis Sheni, Klal Yisrael says Rav Schwab goes to the other extreme. As opposed to following the diktuk of halacha, and they get that message from Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu, they understand that. that you're supposed to come with a heart, that it has to be real, all of a sudden there's only heart, there's only soul, and therefore they bring these karbanos that are inappropriate, that are not fitting, that are not halachically correct, and then the Navi chastises them on the other side of the coin for not doing what they are supposed to do. Therefore, Rav Schwab says, that is the pshat, that's the meaning in the Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, miyadu l'doros, the continuous balance, equilibrium, dichotomy that must be there when it comes to karbanos, that we're supposed to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our heart, with our soul, with our neshama and our guf and our lave, but at the same time doing so correctly, appropriately, and halachically with the maisa. Both of these two things come hand in hand. And of course, to conclude, this is what happens when we daven. Tefillah every single day has to come with this double-edged sword. It must come with both of these elements. It has to come with saying what you're supposed to say, not saying what you're not supposed to say, knowing which insertions are correct, which insertions are not correct, to say what's supposed to be said, when it's supposed to be said, how it's supposed to be said, where you're supposed to daven, how you're supposed to daven. Hilchos tefillah, there are laws, there's do's, there's don'ts, there are how. You got to do it properly. But we can't get so caught up in the details that we're missing the heart and we're missing the soul. And this is really what came down to the distinction in between chassidim and misnagdim in tefillah, right? Some explain, certainly you can find tshuvas from the Satmar Rav, from the Munkacher Rav, why chassidim are not as meticulous and careful about zman tefillah, right? They'll daven later in the day. They'll daven after the right time. Their stress is not, as the joke goes, litvaks daven to the clock, chassidim daven to Hashem. It's not such a good joke, but unfortunately, this is this double-edged sword. And we can't just focus on one. Chassidim saying, you just have to the heart, and you have to do it feeling, and you have to wake up, and you have to have a coffee first, and you have to be prepared and all psyched up. And the misnagdim are just focusing, well, what's the pshat and the halacha and shulchan aruch, when you're supposed to daven, how you're supposed to daven, when you're supposed to daven, where you're supposed to daven. The goal of each and every single one of us, miyad uludoris, is to be able to balance that we both have the heart, the soul, and at the same time doing what we are supposed to do properly, correctly, on time, in the right place, how we're supposed to say it. So this is really Sefer Vayikra, what Sefer Vayikra is all about. It's about this balance of the heart, the soul, and combining that really with doing what we are supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it. And this challenge of Karbanos is not just a challenge for Miyadu Ledoros, but really in all aspects and areas of our service of Hashem, making sure we're keeping Shabbos properly, but we should also feel the spirit of Shabbos. We're going to have the Seder, and you want to follow all of the steps of the Seder and do what you're supposed to do, from Kadesh to Urchatz, to Karpas, to Yachatz, to Magid Rach, to Motzi Matzah, all the way to Nirtza. And you want to know the details and the minutia of the halacha. But at the same time, you have to feel the majesty of the evening, to feel Leil Shimurim, to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting, looking after us, helping, taking us out over through his coattails, out of Egypt, crossing the Yamsuf, and to be able to portray and to feel that and to experience that. And that balance is not an easy balance, right? And it's often the struggle that we see within different communities today. Some communities focus just on the strict letter of the law and doing what you're supposed to do. And then the heart is missing. And other communities are just focusing too much on the heart and on the soul and are not as careful about following the law. When, how, what time the Seder starts, how you have to have the Dal Kosos. Do you recline this way or do you recline that way? Do you chew with two pieces of kazais and one kazais? So, but both have to be there. And that's the balance that we're always striving for and growing for. And that's the really the key, the ultimate, the Jews, the Rabbeim that I personally have looked up to, have inspired me, and I've aspired to be like, are those who are able to have this balance. Those who have logic of the mind and logic of the heart. Those who have a pulsating passion for Hashem, and those who are able to read and to understand and to do exactly what you're supposed to do. Those should be our role models. Those are be people we're supposed to try to emulate and to be like. And we hope and we pray that Sefer Vayikra will be able to not just be something that was, but something that will be and that is. And we should all say together, Miratz Hashem, Lashana, Bab, Yerushalayim, Chasal, Sidr, Pesach, Tilchasa, we should be zochet to bring Bezos Hashem all the karbanos the way they were supposed to be brought and fulfill the halacha to the T, the way that it's supposed to be done. Wishing everybody a great, great week. Hatzlach with your preparations for Yantif. Beautiful Siddarim for everybody. And we'll pick up, God willing, after Pesach this year again.